Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your wonderful love for all of us lost people in this world, that you loved us enough that you had a plan of sending your Son to rescue us and to pay the penalty for us. And as we come together again this morning here to remember our Lord Jesus and all he did, prepare our hearts for remembering him appropriately. But I pray also, Lord, that as we share from your word, that you administer to anything going on in our lives right now, but things that may go on in our lives. Lord, you have worked and you do work through difficult circumstances that we would never choose to get done your work. And so guide us as we share from your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just, first of all, share Hebrews 12:1, and I'll explain why in relationship to what I want to share. Hebrews 12:1 says, after that great faith chapter and all the various people of faith that are mentioned there, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And the challenge here in the 12th chapter of Hebrews is now we're the ones that are needing to be walking by faith and living by faith, and we're challenged by all of those that have been mentioned here that have lived it and had faith and how God used it. Sometime recently, it was in a devotional, I think, but in a scripture, I was thinking about Paul being in prison and how that God used that in the midst of prison. Now, Paul would have a lot rather been out, not in chains, not locked down there, and on to his ministry. But out of this time in prison came the book of Ephesians, the book of Philippians, the book of Colossians, the ministry to Philemon. And just thinking about that, how that in a time of difficulty, something you'd never choose, that God gets done his will, that God gets done things that need to be done. And so the reason I read that verse is that I was talking to the Lord about, I think, a number of different people I want to just talk about that went through difficult times, and you used it in a very special way to minister, not only to themselves, but to others, and continuing to minister. And I thought, but I should just focus on one. Then the Lord reminded me of that other morning. Think about what I've done in Hebrews 12. I've just listed all kinds of people that live by faith and indicated their individual lives and the things that went on in their lives, and brought them together as a challenge. And so I said, thank you, Lord. I think that'll work. So I want us to think about some very different ones and how God used them in difficulties, because if you're not going through a difficulty right now, you very well may be. We don't know what's going to take place in the days to come in our nation or in our own lives. But we need to be understanding that God can use times of difficulty, times we would never choose, to get done his will. And James is one here, and I want us to start with this, that one of the things that God does is difficult times for training. And we could pick a lot of different people, but I want to, and that's what James is saying, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. They come for a purpose to develop maturity in you. They come to test your faith, and that you will be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. I just checked out Mr. Wiest, that Greek professor. He has spiritually mature and complete in every detail, lacking nothing. And I guess I'd go back just for a moment, the verse Ephesians 2:10 at the bottom, that I put it in the bulletin. And we are his workmanship. You as a Christian, you're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works, that God hath before ordained that you should walk in him. He knows what he wants to do in my life. He knows what he wants to do in your life. And some of that is training. Some of that is perfecting and teaching. And I think the one that I want to use on that is Moses. And I think Moses, as he was getting older, had to look back and think, what a wonderful thing that God spared me from Pharaoh's command, drowned every boy baby. Well, his mom, by direction of God, put him in a basket. He was then adopted into Pharaoh's daughter's family, became adopted grandson to Pharaoh. And obviously it went along, and I think it was Stephen sharing it, that he came to believe God put me here for a purpose. And he had a heart for his fellow Israelite people growing up in Pharaoh's house. And he surely must have figured out God had a special plan for me to be here to deliver my people out of this place. And you know the story of how he ended up killing somebody that was afflicting one of his brethren. And he found out that it was known, and so he flees to the wilderness, spends 40 years herding sheep, and then God brings him to the burning bush. And the significance to me of the burning bush, and it says that he turned aside to see it because it didn't burn up. Apparently it wasn't that strange to see lightning or something else, why something would be on fire, but it didn't burn up. And I think God was talking to him already. You kind of burned up in a hurry back there 40 years ago. God spoke to him. He said, I'm going to use you to bring this people out. And at this time, 40 years earlier, I think he was said, well, let's get at it. Because he thought surely his brethren would understand how that God was going to use him. Now he says, I can't even speak. I can't do it. And God, of course, reassured him. But what I see God did with the difficulty of being out there, kind of the death of a vision, I think, that he had, that now you've been out here, you've been herding sheep, and you're acquainted with the wilderness out here, and now you're going to be leading my people. And so sometimes God takes us through times of trial to perfect us, to complete us, and to prepare us. And I see that he did that with Moses, and he may well be doing that with some of you, preparing you for something ahead. Because I think Moses surely came to a place of thinking, I feel really bad about my brethren back there in Egypt, but I have to take care of sheep. God had another plan. Sometimes it's for his corrections. And the passage in Hebrews, and I'll just read a few verses here in Hebrews 12 about correction. Sometimes it's correction that we go through because God loves us and needs to correct us. Verse 6 of Hebrews 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you're without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are you illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which have corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partaker of his holiness. And this is such an important verse. Now, no chastening or going through it for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous, nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. And so sometimes the thing that we go through, our difficulty, is that God is correcting us. God is perfecting us, chastening us, as the writer of Hebrews said. And I have to think of David on this. God does not hide any of the failures of his people, but he puts it right out there for us to behold it and see it, and certainly with David. A man after God's own heart, a man that God has chose to use in a special way. And you know how he got involved in immorality, even murder, and he had to face it. And he faced very hard consequences of it, and I think especially, not to go into it now, but Absalom, what a sorrowful thing for David, and some of the things that had to be used, but some of the beauty that came out of it. I think of Psalm 32, where he said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my sin, iniquity have I not hid. And the Lord has forgiven me. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." God used David's getting right with God in his life so many ways. And I am sure that if the stories would be told, that those that have somehow been beguiled into sin or gotten involved in something, got right with God, have certainly been encouraged by the testimony of David that God will forgive and God will cleanse. And of course we have 1 John 1:9. But it may take some difficulty and consequences of going through it for our good. And it's so important to get right with God and if you're going through chastening of the Lord, nevertheless afterward, the result of that is very special. And God has surely used the story of David in the lives of many, that God, can you really restore me? Can you really put things back right in my life? The third one I'd say is the Lord's pruning. John 15:1, Jesus said, "I'm the true vine. My Father's the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." God's plan, and I think I've mentioned this before, but it's important that God's children, Jesus referring to here, just as a branch through which his life will flow and fruit will come, but it's his fruit, it's his power, the power of Jesus Christ. It's important to the Father not to get too branchy, is what I would say, that somehow the branch becomes something to look at instead of the fruit. And so he will purge it. And there's a lot of those that you could point to where he has done that. We don't always know in our lives what is pruning, but sometimes he kind of helps us understand that's what's going on. But I would point to the Apostle Paul. He had this experience being stoned, and he had a visitation into the third heavens that he came back, and this is the way he says it in 2 Corinthians 12. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And he says, "I sought the Lord three times that it might depart from me." And I'd want to say, if you're going through something like that, he was not wrong in seeking the Lord. This does not seem right in my life, and you got to note, it says as a messenger of the enemy that was coming against him, whatever this thorn was. But then the Lord told him, there's a purpose for it. There's a purpose for it. And he says, the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. To me, his response is such a testimony. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Spending some time in John 15, it's pretty amazing what Jesus says about the Father. He wants more fruit. He wants more lives to be touched. He wants more people to be witnessed to. He wants more people to come into the kingdom. And so if it takes pruning back the branch a bit so that more fruit can come, it's on the Father's heart. And the Father is delighted by the fruit that comes by the vine, the Lord Jesus, flowing through you and I as branches. Fourth thing that I thought about was a matter of waiting on God's time. And I'm thinking of Joseph, because God gave Joseph a sense of destiny at 17. At 17, he gave him some dreams how that somewhere down the line, your brothers, your parents, your dad, or whatever, is going to have to look to you for help. You're going to be of a ministry in the family. And boy, he went through all kinds of trials. And it was really 20 years later, if I figured it right, that he stood before Pharaoh, or stood with his family finally coming to some help. So you know the story of Joseph, and you know how he was hated of his brothers. They tried to kill him. They ended up selling him. He was in Potiphar's house. The wonderful thing about Joseph is he kept a walk with God, and God used him wherever he was, whatever difficulty he was going through. He was a servant. God blessed Potiphar's house. He was lied about by Potiphar's wife, sent to prison, used by God in prison, was able to minister to other prisoners. Ultimately, because of his interpreting dream of fellow in prison, stood before Pharaoh, and ultimately God knew in his timetable there was going to be this severe famine in the land, and he chose Joseph. I'm going to choose you to rescue my Israelite family. But he went through all kinds of things. When finally he made himself known to his brothers, this is what he said in Genesis 45:7. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And so it was not you that sent me here, but God sent me here. And that was when he was saying, you go back and let Dad know that God has a plan, and you need to all come down here if you're going to survive this famine. Later, after his father died, you know that his brothers that hated him so much were now seeing this ruler in Egypt in control, were so fearful that he would destroy them after the father died. And he said, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to save many people alive. And sometimes people go through trials. He had a sense of destiny, but along the way, he kept a life with God alive, but he had to wonder, how in the world is this going to work out, Lord? God knew what he was doing. He was God's workmanship. The fifth and the last one that I just want to refer to is that God uses trials in a life to get his message out. And the one I would point to on that is Job. That God had a message that he could have spoken, but it was even a stronger message of the wickedness, destructiveness, insatiable desire to destroy that Satan has, that he himself would display that message. And you know how that Job was a righteous man. He prayed for his family. He loved the Lord. And then one day that God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And it opened the door to Satan thinking of all kinds of ways that he could show his power against this man that God said, he loves me and he hates evil. And first of all, Satan testified, and you can read it there, he testified about God's protective hedge. He said, you put a hedge around all that he has, I can't touch him. How important to lay hold of and claim that protective hedge around your life. And then he displayed, because God shared the story, he displayed how destructive he was. He said, you can have all that he hath, but you can't touch him. And he went out and it just destroyed everything, took away everything that he had. His wife, being one with him, was not touched. But he stole what belonged to Job. He comes back and God pointed out to him again, have you seen how he is living before me in integrity? He said, if you let me touch his body. And he said, you may touch his body, but you must not touch his life. His life must be spared. And Job went through horrible experience. Had no idea, and I've shared before, but I don't see any sense of his counselors or Job himself. It was all, this has come about by God. But God was opening the eyes of the world to, we have an enemy. We have an enemy that hates Jesus Christ. We have an enemy that hates God. We'll fight against him and we'll do all he can. John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly. And as I look at the life of Job, I think God trusted Job and allowed him to go through a period of time that was awful, to share a message for all time with the world. Satan is your foe. Do not mess with him. Do not open your life to him. Come to me for the protective hedge. And I would just say, and I appreciated the bulletin, I have it here somewhere. The verse that's on front out of Matthew, there it is, Matthew 11:28, I think it is, where he says, come unto me, all you that are laboring or heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you'll find rest to your soul. The invitation of Jesus, if you are going through a heavy burden, if you are going through difficulties, bring it to him. He can shoulder it. He can show you the way through it. And I guess I want to say, if you're going through a period of time where you're not having difficulty, you're not going through suffering, praise God. But he uses these various kind of ways to minister to other people, to give testimony to his power. And when you go through a difficulty, come to him. I love that he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And so it's not unusual for God to use difficulties in the lives of his children to minister to others, to give testimony to God's power, and to accomplish what's on his heart. So Lord, thank you so much for the demonstration of your love that you gave the Lord Jesus. And salvation is a gift. It's not something we can work for. It's something that already has been paid for, but we need to receive it as a gift. Thank you for blessing us. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.